It's so crazy to have that music right here in this place.
Hey, y'all, welcome to Cross Politics. Pastor Toby, Chuck Knox, I'm the water boy. We are still on the road. We are in Knoxville, Tennessee, coming at you from Balter Beer Works here in Knoxville.
Did you catch that?
Tennessee.
You see this right there on my.
Yeah.
I'm even trying one of their IPAs.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah.
Are you okay?
Oh, it's good. I'm doing all right. I'm doing great.
All right.
Hey, we are very grateful to have on the line with us right now Governor Pete Ricketts. He was sworn in as Nebraska's 40th governor on January 8th, 2015. Nebraska has won the Governor's Cup for the most economic development projects per capita.
How about that?
3 years in a row.
Ooh.
President Donald Trump has appointed Governor Ricketts to serve on the Council of Governors and the Advisory Committee for Trade Policy and Negotiations.
Uh-oh.
Also, the Ricketts family businesses include Ameritrade, as well as, Wikipedia tells me, a majority of the board seats for the Chicago Cubs baseball team.
Ooh. Wikipedia. So, can you trust that?
Is your favorite American League team Texas Rangers?
You know, I absolutely believe that you could have a favorite American League team and a favorite National League team.
Okay.
But, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily pick the Rangers.
Gabe's from Texas. He thinks everybody loves all the Texas teams.
That's right. Promised land.
Governor Ricketts was born in Nebraska City, raised in Omaha. He's the son of an entrepreneur and a public school teacher. He and his wife, First Lady Suzanne Shore, have been married for 22 years and live in Omaha, and they have three children. Thank you so much for being on Cross Politics, Governor Ricketts.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on. Though, I got to say, this is kind of unfair because nobody told me you guys are going to be sitting in a craft brewery while you were doing the show.
Oh, well,
like, trust me, I'm in my governor's, the Capitol building here in my governor's office.
Yeah.
I don't have an IPA with
me. Oh, well.
Well, if we were there, we would bring you one.
Wait. If the governor can't have an IPA in his office, what's the point?
Yeah. Are you really governor? Are we talking to Governor Ricketts or not?
I don't know if I can trust you. Wait, put us on speaker. Somebody go get the governor an IPA right now.
That is totally unfair.
Yeah, by the way, that's why I said it was unfair. Nobody warned me you guys were going to do that. We probably could have made special arrangements.
And I do
love a good IPA.
That's
fantastic.
We're going to hold that against you.
Next time we're coming through Omaha, we're going to remedy the situation. And we will bring you an IPA.
There we go.
And we have got, and just so you know, we do have a very vibrant craft brewing industry here in our state.
Okay.
That I've worked with our legislature to help support.
Ooh, how about Scotch distilleries? If you want to get to my heart, bro, that's...
Okay, well, just so you know, I am a Scotch guy. My favorite is 18-year-old Oban.
Ooh.
And we do have distilleries here as well that make some very fine whiskey.
But of course,
it can't be called Scotch.
That's right.
You can only call it Scotch if you distill it in Scotland.
Right. But I'm from Texas, and we'd call it Scotch anyways,
that's
even if we were born in Texas.
He doesn't care.
This is Texas Scotch.
Well, we are very grateful to talk to you, particularly this show is airing, Lord willing, if everything goes well with our technology, on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, January 22nd.
Wow.
The decision that overturned a number of state laws that formerly protected the unborn.
Well, it didn't overturn it, but our state laws just said...
It claimed to, and a bunch of the states acquiesced.
That's right.
But you just issued a pro-life proclamation and we wanted to ask you about that. So what is the pro-life proclamation that you issued, and what are you hoping to accomplish with that?
Well, what I asked for was a day of prayer on the anniversary of Roe versus Wade, which is Wednesday.
Yes.
And it really is just an opportunity to try and bring together people in our state to pray for an end to abortion, and also to ask people to really reach out to those families who maybe are struggling, young families with kids especially, anybody who is, working hard to be able to support their child, and really call on people to take proactive steps to do that. So it really is just a pro-life, pro-family message about, calling everybody together in prayer to end what has been really one of the most horrible, episodes in our country's history, and also acknowledge that we've got people in our community who need our help.
Yeah.
That's really good. So why is this, what's been the reception to this, and why would you consider this not a violation of separation of church and state?
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the separation of church and state. By the way, those words are not in the Constitution.
Hey, anyway.
I like
love
you.
That. Okay. We like you already.
And our founders absolutely believed that our religious values, those morals, that moral guidance was absolutely necessary for us to have a republic.
Yeah, right.
They didn't believe that you could actually have a self-governing people, a republic, without the intervention of God in helping us shape and form that republic.
Amen.
And even when you say separation of church and state, freedom of religion does not mean freedom from religion. Again, right. Our founders absolutely believed the public square was a place for us to express our religious values.
Right.
And under the First Amendment of the Constitution, I have that right to express myself. Now, of course, we don't enforce a specific religion on anybody,
sure.
Right? We don't. But our Constitution specifically says you should not abridge that right to religion.
Right.
And so actually,
I was just going to say a number of governors and presidents have used proclamations to declare Christian prayer, Christian fasting,
inviting people to prayer and worship.
Yeah.
That's been done throughout the history of our country.
Right.
Absolutely. Going back to George Washington.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So this is absolutely a part that's established of what our founders and our Constitution protects. So why do I think it's appropriate to ask for a day of prayer to an abortion?
Yeah.
Because, again, this is something, you know, as elected officials, our job is to protect the vulnerable people in society, whether it's making sure that we try to protect women who are being trafficked, whether it's making sure that we help families who are in need of food assistance, or perhaps the most vulnerable people in our society are unborn children who have no voice at all.
Right.
Amen. This is a way, again, to pray for ending this again, something that's just killed over 60 million of our children here in our country.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And
yeah.
Really also acknowledge, you know, the limits of our humanity and that we are trying to change hearts and minds and we need God's help.
Right.
God wants us to ask for that help. God wants us to ask for that help.
Amen. That prayer that you listed in your proclamation, I mean, we just read it a minute ago before we got on the phone with you. And Gabe, you highlighted a couple of lines. Crush the oppressors.
Crush the oppressors and the enemies.
Yeah, I mean, and it was. I appreciated how direct and kind of hard hitting it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, Governor, it sounds real Christian.
Well, good. That's good. That's where we're trying to come. And I think that again, that it's part of, you know, Nebraska is a pro-life state. And I say that all the time, and we've got to reinforce that message.
Right.
And you know, actually, one of the things that I found was kind of interesting, one of my critics said, well, prayer's not action.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I would say just the opposite. Prayer is one of our more powerful weapons we can use to address injustice in our society.
Amen.
So can we add like a week or 2 weeks or a month or a year to the prayer?
Absolutely. Well, again, I'm hopeful that people will join me in prayer on Wednesday, but also will pray every day throughout the year. I mean, that's what we want people to do is remember, prayer is a powerful weapon. We need to use it often.
Amen.
I know you're probably aware of like how other governors have acted in other states in regards to, you know, marijuana.
Immigration.
Yeah. They've basically just kind of, you know, created sanctuary cities or sanctuary states or kind of defied federal law regarding marijuana and just kind of made it legal in their state.
How do they get away with that and we can't do that on abortion?
Exactly.
Huh?
Well, exactly.
That's the question.
Why couldn't you do that in Nebraska and just say, hey, we're a sanctuary state for the unborn?
Yep. I mean, like that is kind of the double standard that's going on. And I think the difference is that you've got the reason those other states can get away with it is because the federal government is not actually acting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're not acting.
So you're saying if you did that, you think the federal government would come directly to you?
I do think that. Yeah. I think they would.
Why not just say, bet, come get me?
I think that I can be more effective if I actually stay in office. And continue to promote the kind of values that we're doing right now rather than, you know, doing something that may put in jeopardy my administration and not just me, but the other people who work in my administration.
Yeah, yeah. What, you know, one of the things that we've kind of pondered on our show, we've kicked this issue around a number of times, you know, the Civil War and 1958 Dred Scott when the Supreme Court decided that, you know, slavery.
A black man didn't have the right to appeal in
exactly.
court.
And if I was governor in 1958, would I just accept? Of course, I can't put you back in 1973. But, you know, if I'm in 1960 or 1962 and I'm the
you
governor.
You mean 18?
Excuse me. Yeah, 18. 18.
I'm like, well, that was real recent.
Yeah, that's quick. You know, let's say the legislation, the Supreme Court made a decision in 1858. Well, I'm governor in 1862. Would I just say, hey, that Supreme Court decision does not apply in my state? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we've become to believe that the Supreme Court kind of can legislate versus the Supreme Court has an opinion
right
about something. I know it's a little hard to kind of import yourself back into 1973 after that decision, but you know, how do you think about the relationship between, let's say, slavery and the unborn, and some of the boldness that was seen there? That I don't think we're seeing the same boldness from some of the politicians that we saw in the slave trade.
Yeah, I think you're right, because it's a different time frame, so it's difficult to be able to compare what to do. But I think a good guide actually is Martin Luther King, who we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day, and what he taught about nonviolent protest and loving your enemies and his whole message. And if you think about it, and actually when I spoke yesterday at an MLK group, I talked about his message was a pro-life message, right? He talked about, you know, you can't drive out hate with hate. You can't drive out, darkness can't drive out light. You need light. Yeah, and that's what, you know, you can't, you know, your enemies won't stop hating you if you hate them. You've got to love them.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the fundamental thing, is we think about what do we have to do, continue to do on this issue with regard to abortion, is we've got to continue that, you know, that loving of our enemies and working on changing their hearts and minds so that we can change the laws in our country. And that's where I think that we've got to think about how do we, you know, take this going forward, which is really the only power we have to do. We can't go back in time and change it. We got to think about how do we change it going forward.
As you think about the next couple, what do you have? A couple of years left in your term?
3 years. All three right. years left.
What do you hope to accomplish towards the ending of abortion in Nebraska? If you were to finish your term in 3 years and just say, you know, that was a roaring success, what would you hope to accomplish in the next 3 years?
Well, we want to continue to pass pro-life legislation that will, you know, within what we have with Roe versus Wade, be able to limit the damage, so to speak. So, for example, one of our courageous state senators, Suzanne Geist, has put forward a bill, LB 814, which would ban dismemberment abortion. So that is one of the processes that basically you pull apart the child within the womb as part of the abortion process. And this is one of the areas where I think that, you know, whatever side of the issue on, you can agree this is a barbaric practice that just shouldn't be allowed. Mm-hmm. And so we want to continue to make progress on that. Nebraska was actually the first state to pass the Pain Capable Abortion Act, which limited abortions to 20 weeks. So there's other types of opportunities that we have to pass pro-life legislation to continue to limit this. And then the other part is just, again, working on converting hearts and minds. The things we do when we call for days of prayer and we have pro-life walks and we show up and pray at abortion clinics or volunteer at pregnancy agencies to be able to help, you know, women who are having babies and making sure they've got the support they need. All these things are adding to the culture of life and making it stronger and really using that light to drive out the darkness.
So, Governor, I want to push back a little bit. When you brought up Martin Luther King, the thing that started rolling in my head was the walks and the marches and Martin Luther King being arrested and then the fire hydrants and then the police dogs and then just so much abuse on and on and on. You know, it seems like that they had a tenacity that, you know, we seem not to have. And I guess I'm wondering, are you doing so much that you can resemble Martin Luther King and what they were doing then now?
For the unborn.
For the unborn. So, like, I guess the question would be, what's the last time you were arrested? What's the last time you were, you know, fire hoses were put on you? You know,
yeah.
If you're going to use that as a standard to mark by, are you following along that tradition?
Well, I think I've got a different path that God has chosen for me than what Martin Luther King did. And I think he was a high example for all of us to be able, as far as his dedication to the cause of changing America. My path is lies through the governor's office.
Right.
And
right.
So I've got a different path that I'm taking. Doesn't mean somebody might not want to do what Martin Luther King did, but he didn't go through it as a path to an elected official. He had a different path that God chose for him.
Sure.
And I think that's what all of us have to do, is really figure out what is God calling us to do. I believe this is what God is calling me to do, is to do that path through the governorship, which means you also have to, if we're going to have a rule of law in our country, you've got to be able to be the person who is also respecting the rule of law as well as trying to change that culture that created the bad laws in the first place.
All right. If there were if a bill got through the houses of Congress in the state of Nebraska that outlawed abortion just completely, just banned abortion, ended abortion, would you sign it?
So would I sign a law out banning abortion? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you asked for that law yet?
We have not. I have not asked for that law. I think, again, what we're trying to do is work in a way that we can get things done. I mean, to be frank here, right?
Yeah.
I can ask for all the things that can't be passed, and nothing will happen.
Right.
But if we can ban dismemberment abortion,
right,
we've made real progress as far as protecting the dignity of an unborn child.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I agree. I think that's a helpful rhetorical point, and I know to the extent that those abortions are being done, amen. Let's stop that.
Right.
I also think though that you know you have a
bully pulpit.
A bully pulpit, and yeah. I think your proclamation for prayer is glorious.
Fantastic.
Because of that, and raising awareness of the murder of the unborn, the need to support unwed mothers and those in need. I mean, that's glorious, and I think I think a governor in your position, you know, has the ability then to also be saying things like no, bring the bills. Let's I'll sign them. I'm ready to sign them.
Let's do this.
And I just think that also gives people boldness and courage because I think people are afraid of Roe versus Wade. I think they're afraid of the federal government. I think they're afraid of the judges. And I think it's is the likelihood of you know that law is it going to be struck down by a federal court? Yeah, probably so.
Yeah.
But I think that going back to the point that Chocolate Knox was making, the tenacity of the civil rights movement. I mean, they did everything, and they didn't stop. You know, they got knocked down, they got back up again, got knocked down, got back up again, and said, but we're not going to stop until we win. And I think more governors saying, no, really, I mean, I love praying to end it, but I think the governor that says, hey, bring me a bill to sign, I'll sign it, that just, I think, encourages people. And you think, he would actually sign it? Like, that, my heart just, skipped a beat when you said yes. Yeah. When you said yes, I thought, glory, that's wonderful.
Again, it's part of, it's not even, I can certainly call for those things. The question is, can you actually get those things done? I couldn't even get that bill out of my committee. My judiciary committee is run by Democrats. There's no way that bill's even coming out.
Oh, really?
Right, so that bill is not even making it to the floor for a vote. So if I'm called for things like that, it really gets at, my credibility as, what are you actually trying to get done? So
right.
There's certainly a symbolic, there's symbolism to that.
Yeah.
And that's why we do the things like we call for the day for prayer too.
Well, and I think
also the practicality of, okay, now is the governor just calling for, what else is the governor going to call for? He knows he can't get this bill out of committee.
Maybe the one thing though along those lines though would be, do all the pro-life citizens in Nebraska know that? Do they know the problem?
They do now.
They're about to know. The problem is, hey guys, we need to turn some of these seats.
Yeah, pull a Trump.
Some of these seats so that we can get that committee cleared up, so that we can get that bill.
Yeah, no, the citizens who follow the legislature know what the issue is. I mean, on this issue, pro-life people who follow the legislature know exactly the problem.
Yeah. Right.
The challenge is, we got a lot of challenges. We have a one house system.
Yeah.
We got a one house system. We only have 49 state senators. We're kind of unique in the country, and it goes into all sorts of the inside baseball of how our legislature works.
Wow.
But it makes it very difficult for us to get any pro-life legislation passed at all.
Wow. Well, I think kind of what you're hearing a little bit from us. So I'm 40 years old.
You old.
I know, I'm old.
Okay.
And, one of the things I really thank the Catholics for is kind of they were the beginning resistance of the pro-life movement back in the, late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah.
So Protestants were kind of late to the game in some sense. But now as I'm kind of waking up over the years, for example, in the state of Idaho, we actually had a couple senators and legislators who put forward in abortion legislation, and it was basically just legislation saying, hey, let's go back to the original
the way the law was before Roe.
Yeah. When it was written before Roe, they just said, let's go back to that because that'll end abortion effectively in Idaho. But our Republican chair of the committee that would accept that legislation wouldn't even pick it up.
Yeah.
And so
We have a Republican problem.
We have a Republican problem. You have a Democrat problem. But I guess part of what's kind of happened with me over the years, especially doing the show and what we've been doing here on Cross Politic, is I've become kind of jaded, and it's getting harder for me to trust politicians because I just don't see much courage coming from politicians wanting to do things. And then Trump gets elected.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And Trump is... And he's a courageous dude. Even if I don't like everything he says, at least he's willing to...
He has a backbone.
Yeah, he has a backbone. And so... I don't know. Reassure me. Maybe talk about like what does courage look like as a governor with all the tools that you have. I know you can't just snap your fingers, but how do you think about courage in relationship to who you are as governor and where you want to take your state?
And this is the last word, Governor. Go ahead. We're going to give it to you.
Okay. Well, God has got a plan for all of us. I'm trying to follow what God's plan is for me here in my office. And as I think specifically about the pro-life issue, and I think about, as you mentioned, President Trump, what he's doing with the Supreme Court, there's hope now in the pro-life movement that maybe hasn't been there before, that we could actually get Roe versus Wade overturned.
Sure.
And then we'd have an opportunity in the state to be able to pass our own laws and be able to do what we want to do in the state. So we've got to be ready. We've got to be ready for those sort of things to continue to build. And again, getting back to hearts and minds, we got to have, and this is one of the things that it always makes me feel good, is when we have our pro-life walk and we do these rallies, we've got so many young people who are there.
Yeah.
And that's where this battle is being fought right now.
Right.
It's got to be for the hearts and minds of our young people, because if they're on board, that's how we make a permanent change.
That's right.
For the better, when Roe versus Wade does get overturned.
We're having babies, they aren't. We should win pretty easily.
Yeah. I'm lifting my glass.
Gotta think the long game there, right?
That's right. I'm lifting my IPA. I'm lifting my IPA in honor of...
Cheers to Governor Ricketts.
I'm lifting my water.
And ending abortion in our land.
In Nebraska, especially.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on Cross Politic.
Hey, thank you, Governor. If you're
great,
single,
hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
If you're single, get married. If you're married, have kids. And if you have kids, go baptize them. Until Sunday, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Go fight, laugh, and feast. This is Cross Politic.